Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm joined in the studio by, among the top three funniest people in the studio, Barbara and Declan.
Oh, God. I made it. Oh, by the skin of my teeth.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Here to solve all your problems. Here's your first question. I'm really struggling at the minute after what seems to be the ending of one of my closest friendships. I say seems to be because it's happened without any involvement on my part, and I'm completely blindsided. I've been friends with this person since secondary school. We're now in our late 30s. We've seen each other through the best and worst times over the past 15 years, and our friendship had always been unbreakable. I wish there was a reason I could give to speculate this ending, but I've got nothing. What started as slow responses and short messages has now transpired to silence. She won't return my calls or texts. I'm at a loss as to what I should do. I wish I could pinpoint this down to one thing or one event, but I can't. I've essentially been ghosted by my best friend. I'm one step away from showing up at her house, but I feel that's a bit OTT. I don't know what to do. Please help.
Oh, God.
That's hard.
Yeah, this is really hard. And it's not cool. And I mean, friendships that you've had, especially since school, no matter how long you're out of school, I think the friendships you make in school and you maintain after school are really precious. So I'm really sorry that this person has had this after 15 years, of having obviously a very close friend, that all of a sudden she has, as she said, been ghosted. And I mean, you'd have to think that even if there was something going on in the life of the friend who has disappeared, who has vanished, that was making her life very difficult at the moment, that she would have at least in some way flagged that to the friend, you know, sent her a message and, look, there's stuff going on and, you know, just bear with me or something. But the fact that she's got nothing makes it really, really hard. I mean, I'm wondering in this day and age, does the friend have social media, and is there anything on social media that could give her some kind of an insight into what's going on? And I'm also I'm assuming that she's already tried the text of, like, look, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why you've disappeared, but I hope you're okay. You know, not confrontational, but that I hope, you know, concerned text. I hope you're okay and I miss you and, you know, let me know, like, or give me a shout or whatever. The awful truth, though, is that if she's done that, there's nothing, you know, I mean, you could call to the house. That's putting her on the spot. I'm not sure. It depends on how well you know her. But you can't force somebody back into your life who's decided to bail, even if you don't know the reason why and you've, you know, you're none the wiser. There's only so much you can do. And there's a point at which you have to say, OK, I don't think I did anything. I don't know why this has happened. I've tried everything to reestablish communication and contact with this person and it hasn't worked. And for your own mental health, you then have to try and face forward and go on. Mm. But it's very hard. It's really hard.
No, it is.
I think you use the word maintain friendships, which I think is really kind of, for me, at the centre of this, because it's all very well and good to talk about long-standing, long-life friendships. Mm. But as you go through life, we all change and we develop sometimes in different directions. And the changes that happen as we go through life can be slow changes or they can be quite dramatic, as in you can end up in a new job somewhere that just takes you in a whole different direction from your old pals. Mm. I think that often what can happen is that people kind of they don't connect in the way in which they want friendships to work. That some people have a very kind of, this is how a friendship should be and you should be always available for me and I'm going to expect that and you're going to get the same from me. And other people don't necessarily operate in that way, that they operate on a kind of a moment by moment basis. Personality types have a lot to do with this thing, that maybe this friend doesn't realise that the impression that they're giving while they're off doing something else, which could be anything. It could be like, I'm busy with, you know, something that's happening that's not good in my life. It could be I'm busy with something that's happening that's very positive in my life. But the consequence is that I haven't filtered down to the bit where I think, oh, I'm thinking about friend number 7 on my list of, you know what I mean? So,
people have different. It is odd, though, in this day and age when communication is so, like, everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
But not for everybody. Not everybody operates in that way. That's all I'm saying. Not everybody operates in the same way. And you have to account for, like, if it's unusual, if this person was very forthcoming with communication, it was open communication channels, and now suddenly those channels are closed. That isn't just a, oh, you're doing me bad friendship things. That's like worrying. That's like, what is going on? What happened to you? Are you okay? Is what I would be thinking first. Are you suffering from depression? Is there something happening in your world? And if that's not your first approach, then maybe that's why you're getting the cold shoulder, because it's like, you know, I wanted to go out for dinner and talk about everything and you're being moody or whatever it is. You know, if you're, these things can be quite minor.
That's interesting.
And then suddenly you go, I haven't got the emotional strength to say, back off, Barbara. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ghost you slowly and coldly. No, I'm being flippant now, but I'm saying that sometimes the way people negotiate.
So are you saying, though, that if because this friend who wrote to us perhaps didn't initially, you know, when the cool down happened, go, are you okay? Is that
or not even just, are
she
you
left
okay?
it too late now.
Yeah, but maybe she just, it's not that she didn't do the right thing. It's that she didn't notice what was happening and things. And then suddenly the gulf has been created.
It's quite mean, though, to ghost somebody and not who genuinely doesn't have a breeze.
I don't necessarily think it's a deliberate thing. I don't think like ghosting is a term that you know, we use, we throw around. Like, but what we really mean is somebody who isn't making themselves available to somebody else in the way that they had before.
Ah, but it's
for
more
whatever
than that
reason.
When you have a friendship. Like, a friendship is a two way street. It's more than just making yourself available.
I agree. And so so that's, again, I'll come back to it, is that sometimes friendships, long standing friendships, can have been very two-way street, but the actual experience of it isn't quite two-way. No friendship, I can't think of any relationship, is completely balanced.
Yeah,
that's delusional to think that they can be. So sometimes things can happen in people's lives where they're just no longer able to fulfill the role that they played with X, Y, or Z person. And that's just a small thing. And in order
what should this person do?
If they haven't asked the question, are you okay? And if they don't approach it from that angle, then they're not doing the kindest thing, and not doing the wisest thing. Yeah. And then they also, by consequence, don't have the right to get the hump about it. Yeah. That's what I feel. I feel that if you don't approach the situation and go, you used to be like this and now you're not like this, and that makes me feel like this and I'm feeling this, maybe there's something going on in you with you. Is there, you know, that's kind of more open communication. And if you're not doing that, then you don't have a right
to
complain
about
communication.
And she still gets nowhere. You do have to move on. There is a point at which you say, there's nothing more I could do.
But right now, she's living in a world of conjecture and making things up in her head.
Yeah,
and the conversation either needs to happen. It's like the classic thing you always say, why aren't they talking to each other? Just ask the question. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be knocking around to her house in the dead of night and demanding by banging the door down that she speaks to her. But actually ask some like direct questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of theories on this. As someone who went through depression, it made sense to me to break all contact with everyone, as I thought that if I simplified my life, it would help me get through it.
See, that's what I thought.
Says Michael. Someone else says, I packed in my friendship after 25 plus years. Once my friend got married, they pulled away and constantly made excuses not to meet up. To date, with the long silence, I'm done and I've moved on. Like your first story, nothing happened. It just ended. Sad, but that's life.
Now, that's the thing about it, is that often in relationships, people operate on them on a, I'm getting something out of it too basis.
Yeah.
And if you're let's say you're more on the introvert side of personality types, by ending up in a relationship, say you're married or whatever, you can then find that you get all of your needs fulfilled by that person and you no longer need the other kind of relationship. Mm. So, but I do think that mental health, though, sounds to me like the first the first thing I thought of was this.
This happened to me with a friend of over 40 years. I concluded there was no real friendship on her part. Real friends do not do what she did. My wife had a lifelong friendship from a childhood friend, and it lasted through many things, immigration, everything. But eventually the friendship petered out simply because my wife had kids and her friend never had kids. And that seemed to create a chasm that was never overcome. Now, a couple of darker speculation. Has the friend got a new partner that's cutting her off from family and friends? Jim wonders, is it a case of coercive control. Going on there. But most of them are saying, no, the problem is you're the asshole. This problem sounds like a toxic friend that her friend wanted to cut out. If you notice how the text is phrased, it's all about her. I've had those needy friends and cutting them out is the best thing. The letter author sounds like a limpet. Maybe that's why the friend has thrown smoke. Make new friends, for feck's sake, says Paddy. Maybe your writer is toxic and the friend has escaped. Was it always about her? Did she listen to her friend unconditionally?
This is also weird, is that a lot of the time people don't realise that the relationships they have are, you're just there to be the listening person because you're really good at listening. And some people get filled up with hearing other people's stories and they go, you know what, I want to find somebody else who will actually listen to me.
I can't believe that story. That's exactly what happened to me. We were so close since 2018. I had a stroke. She was the first person I phoned even before my partner. But since then, she's vanished. I phoned, texted, say I was sorry if I did something to upset her. But for the life of me, I really can't see what made this happen. Even last week, I sent her a sweet message saying I miss my friend and still nothing. The message was definitely read. It's heartbreaking. It really is. Someone else says, Declan is right. The ghosting friend may not have felt as rewarded by the friendship as the writer did. Some friendships develop in a pattern where one person gets support and an ear to bend and the other acts as the sounding board.
Yeah.
The writer needs to examine balance in the relationship. And if there's something that can be done to make it worth both ways, then make that happen. Somebody else says, OMG, Banshees of Inisherin. That's what we've got. That was the plot of Banshees of Inisherin. If these two had been involved, there would have been no movie. It would last about 20 minutes. Everybody would have made up.
You would have made it all fine.
Lived happily ever after.
Hi, guys. I've done a lot of Googling and I keep getting conflicting answers. So I've decided to go straight to the top.
Great.
Barbara and Declan.
Obviously.
I'm wondering, do you guys think it's possible to be in love with two people at the same time? And by love, I mean proper love. I've been going out with my current partner for 3 years. He's amazing. I really enjoy his company. We have the same sense of humour, same taste in music. Blah, blah, blah. I genuinely feel so happy in his company. However, before I met him, I dated a man on and off in work for a few years. I fell very hard for him at the time. And when we broke up because he moved away, I was distraught. However, through a weird and random set of circumstances, he's now back in my life. And with his return came my feelings. Mm. But in his company again just lights up my day. Mm. I am now starting to think about things a lot. I still love my partner. I don't ever want to lose him. And although I never plan on acting on my feelings for my ex, I think I love him too. Can this be the case? Various websites on Google tell me I'm in denial. P.S. Can't speak to my friends about this. It's complicated.
Because they know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you be in love with two people at the same time? This is the screenplay for Twilight, you know.
Banshees to Twilight.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, you know, I didn't say I was highbrow. It's like, yes, does Bella love the werewolf or the vampire? Who knows? Tune in for three long movies. The thing about this is that people like to pretend that there is the one person, that you're going to meet one person or you'll find the one person and you will love the one and the one is the only one and it was meant to be, and all these kind of romantic notions that we use to kind of cover over the fact that we're basically horny animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, so from that perspective, my very short answer would be, yes, you can love two people at the same time. I think that this question, though, is kind of more about the reason why you love somebody, that this woman's kind of thinking about somebody in her past that's giving her warm, nostalgic feelings, and also bringing up feelings of the unmet kind of attraction. You know, she was going through this relationship that was on and off, and then he went away. She lost that love and it's all very sad. And now she's got a chance to get it back, which is kind of tapping into something that's not really about the day-to-day kind of boring stuff about being genuinely in love in a relationship, you know, the kind of the long-lasting stuff. This is kind of romance. It's kind of a bit kind of goofy. You're laughing.
Sorry, because somebody says, OMG, Sex and the City, Carrie Big and Aiden.
I didn't think of that one. So, yeah, who should she pick? So I think at the end of the day, this person seems to be giving themselves a hard time because they kind of, you know, they're getting, you know, feelings for somebody else that's not the person they're in a relationship. I think that's completely normal. I think that the real issue is, whether or not you recognize what it is that is attracting you to the other person, and whether or not those qualities can be found within the person that you've already chosen, and whether you can reconcile those things together. Otherwise, you know, maybe you're polyamorous. Maybe you've got a whole new future ahead of you. I don't know. But I think at the end of the day, yeah, that's my basic point. I think you can be in love with more than one person at the same time. I think what we do is we need to take responsibilities for the choices we make and to come to terms with those choices we make. And that's how you find...
Do you think that's what they're asking?
Probably not.
She or he. Sorry, Declan, don't be so heteronormative. There's no no indication.
I've been away. Sorry about that.
I've been down to straight school. Because I think what they're asking is, what should I do about being torn between two lovers?
But torn between two lovers, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Like a fool.
So do you think,
loving both of them is breaking all the rules.
But that's the whole point. Is it breaking all the rules?
This is a country and western song.
Oh, God. I beg your pardon.
I'll take you up my C&W song.
But like, the real thing about love is, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. But sometimes you have to, you know, tend through the scenarios. You have to, like, you know, and then always, you know, for every situation where you've got a choice, somebody else is watching you, Jolene, and feeling threatened. So you got to be all kind of careful about it. No, sorry, stop me now.
I'll start quoting
Taylor Swift next.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that I agree, first of all, that I think you can be in love with two people at the same time. Absolutely.
Look at us, Barbara.
Look at us, exactly. And I think, you know, obviously monogamous relationships make life a lot easier and less complicated. Yeah. But I wonder, are we like naturally monogamous, all of us? And I'm not sure that we are. But I do think in this case, I think you touched on it when you said she's been in a relationship with a guy she really likes and he's great and I love him and everything for 3 years. So as you said, they've moved away from the kind of first flush of like excitement into a slightly calmer place. And then your man here, Mr. Big, arrives back and he's bringing with him a level of excitement that is probably starting to peter out.
And rejection, though, that's
and
the
I
real...
Well, I think obviously she didn't have closure from what it sounds like because he moved away. So in other words, she didn't decide, right, I'm done with this relationship, goodbye. He moved away and so they called it quits. So I think there's an issue about closure here as well, that she never got closure on that first relationship. And I think they're the things that are kind of driving her writing to us, because there isn't a question. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you said, what's she asking us here? Can she see that you could be in love with two people at the same time? Yeah, but can you act on that? I don't really think so, unless you're going to be very, you know, secretive and do things that probably aren't particularly a good idea. So she kind of has to make a decision and live with that. I don't, you can be in love with two people, but
the decision that
she
has to make is rooted in the idea of what it is she thinks she's after. Because if she's looking, if she's judging this, the original guy based on who he was back then, she has to also incorporate how she's changed and also what her new responsibilities are and all that stuff that you're talking about, you know. But it's also like, what is it about him? Like you're talking
about excitement.
But it's also that he kind of rejected her and then she's got a chance to kind of...
Well, I don't know if he rejected her. He moved away and maybe they mutually decided to end it, but it didn't sound like it was something that had naturally come to an end.
Yeah.
So but, I think there's a lack of closure there, which can wreck your head and your heart for years.
True.
And I think that that's possibly what's driving her now thinking, you know, he makes me feel, you know, he gives me the kind of, and, you know...
Yeah, but I'm saying the reason why he gives her the isn't necessarily... down to, you know, like a cold analytical look at that person and what he offers. It's to do with the circumstances.
Where does cold analytical come into any romantic relationships?
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of it, is that people do crazy things because they're in love. And you go, well, actually, are you in love or are you just feeling a bit horny or are you drunk?
Yeah.
So the reality of it is
all three, you see, I must say, I dated a man on and off in work for a few years. So it is a combination of it's work, it's maybe people in the office don't know. It is a bit drunk. It's very horny. And I can't speak to my friends about this. It's complicated. I interpret that to mean they'd say, are you mad?
Yes.
You're going to go back to that gob again. Whereas you've been going out with Jamie now for the last 3 years.
And you were happy. And all that stuff. And again, you know, your friends shouldn't be a factor in deciding, you know, who.
But your friends, if they're good friends, will hit you with the truth bombs.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, that's what you need to hear.
But they do have an insight.
And be very careful before you throw away nice Jamie after 3 years, who seems to be a very nice fella and everything is steady, just for the sake of a bit of excitement, because that excitement won't last.
Yeah,
well, even if you form a relationship with the older or the other guy from your past, and you know he doesn't move away, and it's all.
Yeah,
you know, it'll end up being in the same place as, you know, with the excitement burns out, doesn't it, Declan?
And you'll always be the person that came crawling back.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I agree with Declan in one sense that there isn't the one, but I don't think that this lady sounds like she's in love with both. One relationship signifies comfort. The other seems passionate and fun. Paddy says, sounds like she's in love with one but comfortable with the other. A comfy sofa outweighs a handy bed all the time, says Paddy.
Paddy, that's nice. Yeah,
the lady wants the ex, it's clear to tell. And Noel says, of course a person can love two people at the same time. The real question is, can they be honest and loyal to two people at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm. And Big dies and Aiden left her in the last episode. Sounds like Harry needs to find a new man completely. I don't know if that's relevant to...
thanks for keeping us up to date.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
My sister has recently lost her job, and at the same time, a position came up in the company I work in. Last week, she rang me to ask if I would put in a word for her in work because she was going to apply for the job. Of course... On the phone, I told her I would do whatever I could in order to help her get the role. But in reality, I didn't. I don't want my sister to work with me. I work in a small office and I like to keep my work and family life separate. My sister can be a bit loud and pass remarkable. And although I can cope with that the odd time when I'm visiting her, I don't want this in my life every day. If I tell her I don't want her to apply for the job in my place, she would go mad. And I would, and I know being out of work will start to have financial implications for her soon. I feel I'm damned no matter what happens here. What the hell should I do?
I'm a bit baffled here because I read this letter and I reread it. And to me, it, like, he has solved his own dilemma.
Yeah.
You know, like, the sister lost her job. The sister, then a job came up in his place. The sister said, will you put in a good word for me? He said, yeah, of course I will, and didn't.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the problem is. She, okay, will probably go ahead and apply for the job. There are times when being honest is not the best policy. This is one
right.
of them.
Okay, yes.
So, you know, you don't need to share with her the fact that you didn't, you know, put in a good word for her. Now, that means she'll probably still apply for the job. You may be asked internally about your sister coming to work, and then you're fully entitled, I think, to be honest with your boss and say, look, she's grand, but I don't really want her working here. And she may not get the job, or she may get the job. You've no control over that, but you certainly don't have to put in the good word if you don't want her working there. You don't have to do something that's going to kind of help her through the door. You're looking at me like as if I've just said something horrible.
No, I'm thinking about it. I'm going, I just think, well, obviously, I think it's a bit sketchy to kind of not be helping out your sister, but I also think that.
Yeah, you that. See, you were judging me.
I wasn't judging you, but I'm
but
also thinking that.
You don't want.
I just have that face all the time.
That's what I look like. Judgy face.
That's just my
resting
bitch face.
Judgy face.
Resting judgy face.
But I do think, though, that when a company is hiring people, I don't know how big this organization is, they're not going to put your sister sitting at the desk beside you anyway. That
wouldn't
be.
Well, they say it's a small.
It's a small,
So I think unless you're, you know, you're a Healy Ray or whatever, I don't think they're going to, you know, bring in somebody else in the family to sit around the table with you. I think organizations are a bit kind of touchy about that kind of stuff. So I think she has the cards stacked against her by being related to somebody already in the organization.
But would you think he should put in a good word for her?
I think that.
You said I was a bit sketchy when I said
I think his sister's looking for assistance. If he doesn't want her to come in and, you know, obviously she has a need, which is to, I need a job and to earn some money. If he doesn't want the job to be in the place he works, well, then help her get a job somewhere else.
How can he do
that? How can he help that?
Yeah, no, I think he shouldn't. He shouldn't have to put in. I would hate to have to work with one of my brothers, bless them.
Yeah, and she's loud and past remarkable. So you're sitting there and your sister's going, oh, let me tell you what he did when he was six, you know. God.
Yeah,
what did he do? I'd be like, go on.
Yeah, and why did she lose the last job?
Yeah, but I also do think, though, that when the people are hiring, unless he's actually influential in hiring himself, it's going to come up. Is that a good idea for us to hire, you know, year one?
Yeah, they may ask him, depending on where he is in the company. I think he's quite entitled then to say, no, I don't really. Like, she's grand, but I would not be comfortable with
her. But if you had a small business, Barbara, and you were hiring somebody, and you already had somebody there, would you hire somebody else from the same family?
No, from the same family, probably not.
I think you'd be a bit like, is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Is there a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
I just think that the cards are stacked against her getting the job anyway. So I think you're right in the sense that he should pretend to her.
And just not tell her. Like,
just lying through your teeth.
No, well, if somebody asks...
I begged.
I told them
don't do that. But if somebody asks you a question like that that puts you on the spot, most people's reaction is, oh, yeah, sure, I will, yeah. But then don't revisit that.
Yes, and someone says sometimes putting in a good word is a great way of making sure that person isn't
get
fired.
A job.
Yeah. I think this is the answer. I read this one because I think the answer is pretty... discreet, really. I have phimosis. I didn't know that was the actual term for it. If you're not aware, this is what you call when you have a very tight foreskin. In some situations, it can cause discomfort or pain during sex. But for me, I've no discomforts. I've had girls comment on it during sex or ask me about it after. And I suppose in those situations, I do get self-conscious. I'm in two minds whether I should get circumcised. I wouldn't be doing it because I have pain like most people do. I'd be doing it for vanity reasons. I have a very healthy sex life and it's nothing that has ever bothered me before until I was with a girl recently. I know you aren't doctors, but what should I do? As a male, chatting about your penis isn't something you bring up in the pubs. Hello, can I tell you about my penis?
Don't bring up your penis in the pub.
I would have thought so. Isn't this like if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Yeah, and I think bringing up a penis in a pub is far more appropriate than 2 o'clock in the afternoon on national radio. But, you know, who am I to judge?
That's true, yeah.
Fundamentally, I think, vanity reasons, you know, I wouldn't be going ahead getting people touching my bits because somebody made a comment. I'd be going, if you're not comfortable, go ahead and get some treatment. But cringe.
Oh God, that was short and sweet. I was waiting for a very long kind
how
of
dare you?
Philosophical
short
kind
and
of
sweet.
A philosophical kind of a debate about this. Yeah, I first of all think that lads should talk about their bits in the pub. Like, I think that's a healthy conversation to have with the other lads. As you said, I am not somebody who's in favour of getting bits cut off you or injected into you or weird stuff going on for your appearance. I think we should all, you know, embrace our differences and embrace our individuality. So he has no problems by all accounts, except for the fact that he feels slightly self-conscious sometimes. To me, that's not enough, a good enough reason to do.
It's not even a thing that will go away, though, because it's like, you know, whether it's the shape of it, the length of it, the tightness of the top, whatever the thing is, it's just borderline always going to be somewhere very near, like, to a man's self-consciousness.
See, one of the things that you guys have as a disadvantage is you can see your bits very clearly.
That's true.
Whereas we don't see our bits that clearly. So we wouldn't have
and
really a
rashers. Commentary about your bits is very much, you know, it's the kind of the vernacular of sexy time talk is about, oh, how big or whatever it is. And so for people, so I, in that respect, all I'm really saying is that getting it refashioned and remodeled isn't necessarily going to take away any chance of you feeling self-conscious about your...
You'll be self-conscious about something else.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you're wasting your time.
I have a weird Mickey. And then she'd be dying to see it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Barbara and Declan, thanks a million for coming into us. We're going to take a break. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.